This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, week five of the college football season, breaking down the card, all our best bets. And as always, on the Thursday episode, joined by Matt Eumanns, my partner in crime on VSiN Primetime, the host of the Circa Friday Football Invitational. And Matt, every Saturday for us is a sit on your ass Saturday, and last Saturday was great. We had a late night Hawaii sweat, but this one, this Saturday, is an all-timer, it looks like. Maybe not all-timer, but a very, very good card. So excited to break this one down because we got some monster matchups on this Saturday card.
Yeah, Tim, I think all-timer is a bit of hyperbole on your part, but trying to hype this up. I do think it's one of the best Saturdays of the season. No doubt about it. But I like last Saturday quite a bit. 15-plus hours of college football ending in Honolulu after midnight. So that was a great card. And you and I both have positive results. Hopefully this turns out the same way.
Yeah, it is a loaded card. I did correct myself. I didn't say all. I said all time, and then I quickly corrected myself. But it should be a good one, and we have a bunch of big games to get into, so let's not waste any more time. Let's jump right into the biggest games of the weekend.
The main course.
And yes, we call them the main course, as before you know it, Thanksgiving will be here. We'll be sitting down for that big old turkey dinner. Matt, James Franklin, he likes to complain all the time. And sure enough, he was complaining again earlier this week, but excited for him that they finally got this whiteout that they've been begging for since joining, since the Big Ten and Fox have kind of come into cahoots here. So NBC 7:30 whiteout, Oregon heads to Penn State, number 6 versus number 3, and Penn State, a 3.5-point favorite.
Yeah, Tim, I think we talked about that last year when Penn State was hosting Ohio State. And you want those whiteout games to be at night. And obviously with the Fox Big Noon kickoff situation, the teams can't get what they want, right? Penn State couldn't get it at night last year. Utah could not get the home game at night last week in Salt Lake City. And I think TV kind of screws up college football sometimes in that way. But big game James needs to focus on trying to win a big game here. And this is not going to be a big play for me, but I've had so many people ask me about Oregon, Penn State, do you have a play this week? And I said, look, it's going to be Oregon or pass. I went ahead and bet Oregon plus 3.5. But I said, it's kind of like a half unit play for me this week. And I think it's a tough handicap, too. When you look at the Ducks so far, they played Montana State, Oklahoma State, Northwestern, and Oregon State. And to be honest, Oklahoma State might be the worst of those four teams the Ducks have faced so far. Penn State's also played a cupcake schedule up to this point. So what do you make of the stats so far? You can't make too much of it. I'm a little bit concerned about Dante Moore, the Ducks quarterback, on the road. So far, he's got 74.7% completions, 11 touchdowns, one interception. All the numbers look really impressive across the board for the Ducks. This is going to be their first road game against a legit opponent. Tim, before the season, we talked about this. On paper, talent and experience, you could make an argument that Penn State was the number one team in college football in the preseason. The thing is, the Nittany Lions have not really played up to that. If you've been watching early season games, have been a little bit disappointing. It has not come together completely yet for this team. I think Jim Knowles, his defensive coordinator, was a wise move by Franklin in the offseason. Had to pay about $3 million a year to get him away from Ohio State, but that should be worth it for Penn State. James Franklin kind of insulated by his coordinators, and maybe they won't allow him to screw up this game like he screwed up so many big games. The reason I end up taking Oregon plus 3.5 is that I read in a story this week that James Franklin is 1-18 straight up in his career against top five opponents. So he's going to have to prove to me that he can win the big game or win this game by more than a field goal. So I'm going to take the Ducks with a field goal on the hook.
15-6-1 is the number that Brett Ciancia pointed out on Wednesday, Pick Six Previews. all-time ATS in whiteout games. I know that's not the official number because in 2002 it was kind of an unofficial whiteout, Matt. But these games have given Penn State a big boost, no doubt. And when you look at some of the recent installments of these whiteout games, they've done very well, not only winning, but covering as well. I believe they are in their last, I think, 9 whiteout games, 8-0-1 against the number. But you pointed it out, Matt. The struggles against top 10 teams or top 5 teams, 4-20 straight up against top 10 teams, James Franklin. And this is the spot. You know, they've been asking for it. They set up the schedule with a bunch of jabronis to head into this game, Matt. They have been a 6-plus touchdown favorite every single game this year. Nevada, FIU, and Villanova. And interestingly enough, Matt, they haven't covered any of them. They're 0-3 ATS, but right. You know, they've been very vanilla. They even said so this week. So this is the spot where I'm not going to bet it. I'm just going to kind of look at James Franklin and say, look, big boy, you talk so much you know what all the time and have never shown anything. Do it this week. This is the spot. If not now, when? So we'll see if they get it done here. 3.5-point favorites at home over the summer. Number was around 4.5. Last week was 4.5. And now sitting at 3.5, Penn State and Oregon. Number 6 versus number 3, Matt. Let's go to another game in primetime. You've got number 5, Georgia, hosting 17th-ranked Alabama. This will be on ABC, 7:30 kick time. And this one, we've seen a little bit more dog love in the market. 3 is now the number across the betting market here. Georgia's got their big win over Tennessee. Alabama, their big loss to Florida State. Matt, what do you make of the showdown between the hedges Saturday night?
Well, this is not going to be a big play for me either. I think it really, I know sometimes people hate to hear this, but I think live betting the Oregon, Penn State, and Alabama, Georgia games might be the better way to go, where you're going to find a better number on the side. But I did find Circa this week was sitting for about 2 days on Georgia minus 2.5. And a look ahead line on this a couple weeks ago was 6. I laid the cheap number with the Bulldogs. Less than a field goal. I thought Gunnar Stockton really grew up in that win at Tennessee a couple weeks ago. Man, he was nuts down the stretch in the clutch. 304 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He had 38 yards rushing and a touchdown. Nate Frazier, 5.2 yards per carry. And that game, it looked like the Bulldogs were dead. And they came back from the dead to beat Tennessee in overtime, 44-41. Kirby Smart's defense has got some issues. There's no question about that. I have not seen a Georgia defense that's this leaky in a while, and that's a concern because Alabama might win at the line of scrimmage. At the same time, are the Tide really back on track? I know the loss of Florida State doesn't look that bad now, but with the games, with the opponents that Alabama played the last couple weeks, and we know the Wisconsin Badgers are really bad right now, I don't know if we can make that much out of Alabama's improvement. And this is going to be a pressure-packed game for Ty Simpson. Hey, Kirby Smart's going to want this one bad, Tim. He's lost 9 of the last 10 to Alabama. He gets him at home here. Most of those games were against Nick Saban. He gets Kalen DeBoer here, and I think Georgia finds a way to get it done. But obviously, I laid 2.5. The play here is going to be officially minus 3 because I think all the 2.5s, except for a FanDuel, might have a 2.5. Otherwise, it's a 3-point number. It's going to be a tight back-and-forth type of game. Both defenses have been a little bit disappointing. So I like Gunnar Stockton. I actually I like him a lot more than I did last year when he had to step in.
Jam Miller should be back for Alabama. Remember, he was sidelined due to injury. He was not on the injury report, meaning he is good to go. So he'll make his season debut for Alabama. Last year, what a thriller it was in Tuscaloosa. We had over 1,000 yards of offense. Alabama jumped out to a massive lead and then almost let it slip through their fingertips. In that game, Georgia turned the ball over 4 times. Carson Beck had 3 picks in that game a year ago. I think Ryan Williams should have a big game. I think he could have a lot of success against this secondary that really struggled against Tennessee. But, you know, for me, I was high on Alabama coming into the year, Matt. The loss to Florida State was rather less than ideal for some of the bets that I made preseason. So this would be a big one for me if Alabama could swipe this one away from Georgia. But no play for me on this one, Matt. Let's go to the 3:30 Eastern window, Matt. And this one, Lane Kiffin gave us a little extra fun to this one with Ole Miss and LSU. Right now, Ole Miss, who was an underdog in the look-ahead line, is now a slight favorite here against LSU. Trinidad Chambliss will get the start. And Matt, I know you and I are good friends with Jimmy Ott down there in Baton Rouge. Well, how are the locals feeling about this game up in Oxford on Saturday?
Yeah, I just got off the show with Jimmy Ott and Hanny and ESPN Radio Baton Rouge, and they think that Chambliss is an upgrade from Austin Simmons. They said they wish Austin Simmons were starting in this game. I know a lot of people thought it was going to be a drop-off, maybe a big drop-off at quarterback when Simmons went down, but the Rebels have played really well. And Lane Kiffin's got two quarterbacks he can win with, but those guys in Baton Rouge said with Chambliss a quarterback, Ole Miss has got the edge here, and I think so too. And also, if you look through the history of this series, the home team's got the edge. LSU, I've talked about the offense, been underwhelming. I know the Tigers padded their stats last week against a cupcake, but through the first three games, Garrett Nussmeier had three touchdown passes. Offense was averaging 20 points a game. Running attack was subpar. Those wins over Clemson, over Florida, don't look so great right now, Tim. I know it felt like a statement at the time when LSU won at Clemson. And then LSU picked off DJ Lagway five times to win that game by 10. And Florida should have covered, did not cover. Those wins don't look so great when you look back at it now. I'm rolling with Ole Miss here. Circa had pick. I bet Ole Miss at pick. I still play it at minus one. I think the market right now is pretty much one or one and a half. We're even seeing a lot of one and a halves out there. But I like the Rebels.
Yeah, not an official play for me, but I'm with you. I bet the pick earlier this week with the home team in Ole Miss, and I think the points you make are valid regarding this LSU team. The offense really has struggled. It's kind of funny how things have flipped down there in Baton Rouge, where the defense is now their best attribute, and the offense is Garrett Nussmeier and who else? So Trinidad Chambliss, the D2 transfer from Ferris State, has been very impressive since stepping in. Played well, obviously, against Arkansas. They blew out a Tulane team last week. Had some big-time plays. How about Harrison Wallace, the wide receiver for Ole Miss this year, Matt? This is a guy that Penn State, apparently, their quarterback, Drew Aller, couldn't find him out there when he was trying to look at wide receivers a year ago. But he's had some big games so far, including against Arkansas, 6-for-92. Lastly, it wouldn't be a great preview without mentioning that Lane Kiffin did tell us to take the over in the game. So do that for what you will, as his daughter is dating someone on the LSU defense. So leave it to Lane to make things interesting. But the total sits at 55 right now between Ole Miss and LSU. Matt, also in that 3:30 window, I think this is a very sneaky game, and I bet this game early over the weekend. I have another bet on this game as well from a long-term standpoint. We've got number one Ohio State going out to Seattle to take on Washington, and this line has dropped from look ahead at around 11 and a half a week ago, and now market wide either 8 or 8.5 in favor of the Buckeyes in Seattle.
I'm on the Huskies. I think they're live dogs in this game. Would not surprise me if Washington wins the game outright and we got a big upset here of the number one team. Is Ohio State really worthy of being number one? Well, none of these top teams in college football have impressed anyone all that much. And when you look back at Ohio State's win over Texas, probably not going to blow you away at this point with how bad Arch Manning has been. And that was his first road start. And don't forget that Texas outgained Ohio State by about 150 yards in that game. Julian Sand, the Buckeyes freshman quarterback, making his first ever road start, just like Arch was when he was in Columbus. And I'd say Sand could struggle in this game. It wouldn't surprise me. When you got a freshman on the road in Seattle, you know this is one of the toughest environments in college football. I'd prefer it being a night game, but again, it's an afternoon game in Seattle. Ohio State against Ohio 2 weeks ago. It was a 23-9 game early in the fourth quarter. And I was watching that and I said, man, this Buckeyes offense right now is not really firing. Ohio State's offense been a little bit disappointing. But again, you got a freshman quarterback in there. Now he's going on the road. All right, let's look at the Washington Huskies. Top five scoring offense in college football. Well, you face Colorado State, UC Davis, and Washington State. Not the best – respectable, but not the best competition, obviously. This is going to be the time we find out if Damond Williams, the quarterback, is for real. I think he is. So far, 73.5% completion, 6 touchdowns, no picks, about 200 yards on the ground. He's a dual-threat quarterback. He's got a big-time running back with him in the backfield, Jonah Coleman. Denzel Boston, a top receiver. Washington's got talent at the skill positions. There's no question about it. You're talking about Williams, Coleman, Boston. Is the defense good enough? Well, the defense is probably going to bend and break a little bit in this game, but that's okay. I think Washington can put up the points, and the Huskies can run with the Buckeyes here and possibly pull the upset. Washington plus 8.5.
Bet this game over the weekend when I saw the Tentons start to disappear. I'm with you. Once again, not an official play, but I will be on the Huskies. I did mention on Wednesday, Matt, I bet Damond Williams 60-1 to win the Heisman after my Devin Dampier ticket went up in flames. So this is a Washington team that I bet as a long shot to make the college football playoff over the summer at plus 950. Loved what I've seen so far, but as you pointed out, the schedule has been very soft so far. How about this nugget from my buddy Stucky? Number one teams favored by just single digits over a ranked opponent in the past 20 years. You ready for the list, Matt? Notre Dame minus 4.5 at USC in 2012. Ohio State minus 8.5 at Washington 2025. That is the list over the last two decades. So
How'd the Notre Dame game turn out?
22-13. Lane Kiffin went for it on fourth down and threw a pass like a moron, and Notre Dame ended up winning and covering that game. So then they went on to the championship and lost by a million. but I'm excited for this game, Matt. You made all the points that I wanted to hit on. Do keep an eye out on Takario Davis, his status, the Washington corner, 6'4", long rangy corner. I believe he is listed as questionable. So keep an eye on that. That could be a big hit to the Washington defense if he is unable to go. But I think the point you made is valid regarding Julian Sain and whether or not he is going to be able to thrive on the road there. Matt, before we move forward into our spicy matchups, just a reminder that Rainbow Authentics is a proud sponsor of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, the official source of game-used apparel, autographs, and trading cards for Hawaii student athletes. Every item tells a story, whether it's game-worn jerseys, signed collectibles, whatever it may be. You're capturing the moment and owning a piece of Hawaii sports history. And beyond memorabilia, Rainbow Authentics is also committed to supporting the community. Their mission is rooted in empowering student athletes and coaches, strengthening local programs, and giving back to Hawaii with pride. With exclusive custom gear, Rainbow Authentics also makes sure you look your very best every game day. So check out all of their items and support Hawaii Athletics at RainbowAuthentics.com. Mahalo to our friends at Rainbow Authentics. We'll obviously talk Hawaii and Air Force later on here in the show, Matt, but we had four massive showdowns to preview in our main course, but let's get to those always spicy matchups.
Muy caliente!
Spicy matchups.
Well, a bit of a bad beat last week if you did get Auburn not at a full 7, if you took the 6.5 with that late safety and just absolutely terrible refereeing. We discussed it on VSiN Primetime as well. So how does Auburn get off the mat here, Matt? They have to go to College Station to play Texas A&M, a Texas A&M team that did not play last week. They had the big win over Notre Dame and then had a bye week. Texas A&M, from an offensive standpoint, certainly looks the part, Matt, but defensively, it looks like they can be had a bit. Right now, market sitting A&M minus 6.5, total 53.
Situation sets up much better for A&M. Auburn put so much into that game last week. Jackson Arnold's homecoming. He got sacked 10 times, and that 10th one was costly when it pushed the margin from 5-7. Auburn also got absolutely screwed by the officiating crew in Norman last week. Took, say, 2 TDs away from Auburn and gave Oklahoma 1. It's just very unfortunate. You and I talked about this on the show early in the week. I think it was Barrett Salee, right, who said he doesn't like to criticize officials, sits in on meetings, and he said, that said, looking back, Auburn-Oklahoma was the worst officiated game he's ever seen. And you would think that some of those calls might go Auburn's way. Pretty much every call went Oklahoma's way. It was insane. SEC owes Auburn. I don't know if they're going to pay it up this week. But the situation for A&M sets up so much better with week off after the Notre Dame win. After Jackson Arnold took 10 sacks, I really don't want to play the Tigers here. I passed on this game.
I passed too. I was tempted initially to look at Auburn thinking, all right, Auburn was 6.5-point dogs at Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma's better with a healthy John Mateer than Texas A&M. But the situation, as we like to talk about all the time, situations mean a lot. And we'll get into some situational spots later on here in the show, Matt. But I will pass as well. Let's get to a game where maybe the situation is in favor of the home dog. We've got Iowa hosting Indiana. And shout out to the Cignetti Army out there. Man, did they put it on Illinois a week ago, 63-10. Kirk Cignetti now 12-3 ATS, Matt, as a favorite at Indiana. 17 points per game. They are covering the margin. This game will be on Peacock, 3:30 Eastern time. And I love the quote from Cignetti, poking the bear, old Brett Bielema, quote, a more difficult challenge this week than last week, for sure. So a little poking of the bear, so to speak. Iowa catching 7.5 or 8 at home against Indiana, Matt.
I actually thought Cignetti would talk a little bit more trash than he did after beating Illinois that bad. He was somewhat respectful to Illinois, which talked about the injuries they had in the secondary and whatever. I thought he would really stick it to Bielema because, hey, Brett Bielema is one of those loudmouth, boasting type of coaches that if you get a chance to stick it to him and drop 63 on his head, you have to enjoy that. And I'm sure Kurt Cignetti did. By the way, I mentioned this with you early in the week. That was a payback game. I'm sure Cignetti was aware of it. Brett Bielema, when he was coach at Wisconsin about 15 years ago, dropped 83 points on Indiana. Remember that. So that was some payback for that as well. Off a 63-10 win, first thing you're going to think is I want to fade this team the next week. And the Hoosiers go on the road, laying 8 at Iowa, 7.5 or 8. And not too often is Iowa going to be an underdog in this price range, unless it's against Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, maybe a team like that. So Indiana rolling in there as a 7.5, 8-point favorites. Kind of odd. At the same time, this Hawkeyes team has struggled offensively. We thought Mark Gronowski and the Hawkeyes were going to be a little bit better throwing the ball. They have not been. Did I put this as an official play on the show today? Because I actually bet Iowa. Okay, I bet Iowa +8 last night. I don't love it, but the situation sets up for a play here on the home dog, and I couldn't resist. I did make it a bet last night, and I do use it as the best bet on the show today. And when you get an Iowa +8 at home off against a team off a 50-point win and a team that's not accustomed to being a big favorite on the road, I had to play it. Now, we might find out this week, Tim, that Fernando Mendoza and the Hoosiers are everything they looked like they were in Bloomington a week ago. This might be a playoff team again. In fact, I think Indiana's got a great shot to be a playoff team again. But this is a big test on the road. If the Hawkeye or if the Hoosiers clear this hurdle against the Hawkeyes, watch out. I think there's a great shot they're going to be a playoff team.
Well, we've got a loyal listener to the podcast, Hoosier Bear, and he always tweets me about how we're all Indiana haters and all this and that. I'm like, I don't know what podcast you've been listening to. I haven't said anything negative about Indiana this year. I just haven't been blindly all in on them. And I actually liked the spot last week.
Tim, fans of teams are way too sensitive. Like, I mean, fans of teams are as sensitive as more sensitive than teenage girls a lot of times. You know, sorry to upset your delicate emotional state. But, yeah, not everything we say about every team is going to be positive all the time. And, by the way, Indiana is a stepping stone program, and Kurt Cignetti is probably going to end up at Alabama or Florida after this season. And for those who scoff at that, Cignetti was on Nick Saban's original staff at Alabama in 2007. He was wide receivers coach and recruiting coordinator. And if he's got a chance, if things turn south in Tuscaloosa and he's got a chance to go back there, I think he will. I also think the Florida Gators are going to be after him, but that's a discussion for another day. Right now, you just have to enjoy what Kurt Cignetti is doing in Indiana. It's a miraculous coaching job here in the last year and a half.
No, it really is. And I can hear Hoosier Bear right now getting all fired up at Matt Eumanns.
That's fine.
But look, Indiana has been a remarkable story. One of the best, if not the best stories in college football. As you've pointed out, the worst Power Four team in all of college football up until recent, success here. But they've been great. And, they've got legit dudes. And this team's better than last year, Matt. Fernando Mendoza, as you mentioned, Heisman favorite, could be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. Wouldn't be stunning. They've got big-time wide receivers in Omar Cooper and Elijah Surratt. Each of them have 5 touchdowns. And, look, if they go to Kinnick Stadium and put it on the Hawkeyes, you got to tip your cap to them. But I'll say this, Kirk Ferentz, since 2010, as a touchdown or more underdog, is 5-2 against the spread with 2 outright wins. One of those outright wins, Matt, we all remember well, 2017, Ohio State went in there as a 3-touchdown favorite, and Iowa absolutely hammered them. Now, what worries me about Iowa, you pointed it out, Mark Gronowski has not played to the level of what he's getting paid. He's getting paid millions of dollars to be the quarterback of Iowa, and they felt like they found the guy, and it just hasn't been so. Now, I will say against Rutgers, which is not a very good defense, he played well, and it seemed like they figured out what he can do, right? Running the football, not throwing it a ton. Moulton is back, which is a good thing there for Iowa, but getting Iowa at home as a touchdown plus underdog, I think it's something you got to do. And like you said, if Indiana goes out there and lays the smackdown on Iowa, then you got to tip your cap and give them the cover. Once again, Cignetti went in that favorite role, 12-3 ATS and covering by 17 points per game. But that is a common play, both you and I riding with the Hawkeyes. Matt, I talked about Rutgers not being a very good defense. Well, their former head coach once upon a time, Chris Ash, is now ruining Notre Dame's defense because that defense is an abomination right now. Notre Dame going to Fayetteville, 4.5-point favorites, total 63.5. Some brave soul took a little bit of the under here, but Notre Dame, Arkansas, noon kickoff, 11 a.m. local down in Fayetteville for Woo Pig Suey coming off of the loss to Memphis.
Yeah, that loss stings too for Arkansas because this team was showing a lot of positive signs, and so was the quarterback. And you blow a lead like that late, it's disappointing. There's a lot of anti-Notre Dame sentiment out there right now. I tend to think the Irish are going to win 10 in a row and run the table. I know you and Brad Powers are always negative about Notre Dame and probably forecasting a
Brad's
loss.
Brad's a little bit more negative than I am. I'll point that out.
Okay. Yeah. I remember a Brad Powers tweet maybe 2 years ago. He said, Marcus Freeman's not the guy. Okay. And then Marcus Freeman ends up taking Notre Dame to the national championship game. You guys love to fade the Irish, your favorite team. This is going to be a tough game. Tough road trip here for a defense that's out of sorts. I mean, Purdue hit for a bunch of big plays and sustained drives in that game in South Bend last week. But I love the Irish offense. C.J. Carr, I thought, really showed some positive signs in the second half, especially the fourth quarter in the game at Miami. He's carried that over. Notre Dame's got plenty of weapons. This offense is legit. I think the Irish are going to find a way to win this game. I think they're going to win 10 in a row and get to the playoffs. I'm not laying the points here with Notre Dame, but I'll let you analyze the game. For all the criticism of Chris Ash as defensive coordinator, is Marcus Freeman going to step in? Right, this guy knows defense. He could step in and help make the fixes too. I don't think it's all on the DC. The head coach is a defensive guy. He can step in and help fix some of the problems, right?
Oh, there's no doubt, and he's been asked quite a bit if he will step in and take over those play calling duties. And it wouldn't surprise me if at some point during this season, maybe next week, Matt, he does ultimately do that. Right now, the numbers are horrific for Notre Dame defensively. Right now, 132nd in the country in pass defense. I know our guy, as I mentioned already, Brett Cianci, I believe 48th out of the 68 teams in the country from power conferences in adjusted defensive efficiency. So the defense has just been shredded. And to make matters worse, Leonard Moore, their best defensive player and best pro prospect probably on the entire roster outside of Jeremiah Love, is questionable with an ankle injury and did not play last week against Purdue. So, yeah, there's a lot of things about this game, Matt. But that all being said, it's not all doom and gloom, as you pointed out. The offense might be the best offense in South Bend since Brady Quinn was there. I love what they've got going on with C.J. Carr, with Malachi Fields, the transfer from Virginia. Jordan Faison has played exceptionally well already this year. Eli Raritan, the tight end. And you can make a strong argument that they have the best running back duo in the country. I know Penn State fans would disagree with Catron Allen and Nicholas Singleton, but Jadarian Price, Matt, I believe he had 12 total snaps on Saturday, and he scored 4 touchdowns.
Sure.
He is a great change of pace to Jeremiah Love, who they now are giving the ball much more to. So I'm not going to play a side, and I'm not even going to play the total. I think the total has gone so high, Matt. The previous 3 Notre Dame games, Miami closed 50.5, A&M closed 49.5, which we played over on the podcast. Purdue closed 51. You and I talked about that on the tailgate show. Both had that one in our back pocket, and that was an easy win. And now we've adjusted 12 points to the over. So it's a big movement here. My worry is Notre Dame slowing down the playmakers for this Arkansas team. Omega Blake is an absolute stud. And if Leonard Moore is out, which seems to be the feeling right now, I think Omega Blake, the leading receiver for Arkansas, could have a big day. And also, Matt, Talen Green is a guy that uses his legs a whole bunch. And you saw that against against Ole Miss. I mean, this is someone who will utilize the run game. He is a big-bodied quarterback, 6'6", 220-plus pounds. He's ran for 115 against Ole Miss. And I think Notre Dame's going to have a hard time containing him. And if Notre Dame's offense is able to score, Matt, they're going to have to continue to score as well. So I would lean towards the over. I don't really know. I think probably an in-game play would be great for this game with the total being so high. But I'm going to play a couple of props, which I don't normally do. I'm going to go Omega Blake over his receiving yards, which I think is around 66.5 at FanDuel, and Talen Green over his rushing yards, 54.5. So those would be my two plays. A couple of Arkansas players I think should have some success, but yeah, we'll see. This is a big one for Notre Dame if they want to have a chance to make the playoff. And this is also, Matt, a big one for Arkansas, because if they lose this one, Sam Pittman's seat is going to be on fire down there.
Yeah, no question. I think I've heard that there's already a lot of talk about Bobby Petrino, the neck brace, taking over in Fayetteville. We'll see what happens there.
All right, Matt, let's get to another game in that noon Eastern window. Matt, remind me, you love betting noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific games, correct?
Hate it. Lost another one last week and pushed another one that we should have won. Now, Utah was a bad play last week. And, you know, obviously that game got off to a poor start with the long touchdown pass being called back on a penalty. It's just, I said, okay, I give up. This was over early in Salt Lake City. But we should have won the Miami play. Miami Redhawks blow a big lead, and UNLV comes back and wins by 3 and got a push. Believe it or not, Tim, in the 9 a.m. games, I felt okay coming out of it 0-1-1 because I actually got a push and didn't lose both plays last week. But let's take it one more shot here with an early morning kickoff that's going to tick off Lincoln Riley.
Yep, he's already mad. And as I tweeted, Matt, he needs to have a podcast with Pat Narduzzi and James Franklin. They'll just be bitching for 40 minutes about what is wrong in college football and why everyone's out against them as USC tries to cancel their historical rivalry with Notre Dame. Apparently, they want to play the game in Mexico City, Notre Dame, USC. I mean, these morons, I can't get it, but whatever. Lincoln Riley said, quote, regarding the early kickoffs, going from the absolute latest kick in the country to the absolute early kick in the country has its challenges, but the challenge, like, it is what it is. We don't make the schedule, clearly. Well, you could have stayed in the Pac-12, but you decided to go to the Big Ten. Regardless, Matt, how do we expect Illinois to bounce back after an embarrassing performance a week ago against against Indiana, and now they're a 6.5-point home dog against USC?
Yeah, the Illini have some injuries. It's a little bit concerning here. And in that 8 p.m. kickoff in L.A. last week, I was surprised. I bet the over. I was surprised when the game came on and Jacoby Lane was out, star receiver for USC. It looks like Lane has got a great shot to be back for this game in Champaign. He's a big-time playmaker. I like him a lot. I like this USC offense a lot. But, Tim, I'm going to trust the situation here in the spot for the home dog. I'm waiting for seven, officially waiting for seven. Right now, 6.5 across the market. Maybe we'll see a seven at some point on Saturday morning. I'd like to get that number with Illinois. You want to bet a good team. I still think Illinois is a good team, not a great team, like I've said all along. But you want to bet a good team off a bad loss. And, man, that's as ugly as it gets in Indiana last week when you lose 63-10. So Illinois is still a good team. USC here, I think this number is a bit inflated because USC offenses look so good and Illinois looked so bad last week. But the body clock situation, too, is a negative for USC. Lincoln Riley's right. Now, I know he sounds like a whiner, but he's right. You played the late-night game in L.A. last week. Now you got to play the early morning game in Champaign. I think that's tough on tougher on players, tougher on teams sometimes people realize. I like the Illini to bounce back here, at least make this a competitive game down to the wire. I'll play the home dog.
Yeah, I think I might get there, man, on a first half play. There's some 3.5s out there. I could certainly see Illinois off of the loss playing well, maybe a sluggish start for USC. So I don't know. Maybe I'll have to text Wyatt and say that's an official play, but I think I'll join you. Illinois, maybe in the first half, plus 3.5. We got two Friday games. I'll run through these real quickly, Matt, in our spicy matchups. Florida State at Virginia, ESPN. This one at 7 p.m. on Friday. I took the home dog. This is a spot that I circled in the preseason, and I even like it more now because of the strength of Miami. And Miami has been fantastic so far this year. Florida State hosts Miami next week in a massive showdown in Tallahassee. And this is that these are tricky spots in college football you see often. Now, Florida State is better than I expected, at least from what we saw against Alabama. But I think Virginia might also be a little bit better, too. This is a very capable offensive team, Matt, there in Virginia, led by Chandler Morris, the transfer from about a million other schools, right? He was at TCU, beat out Max Duggan back in 2022, then got hurt in that season opener, lost it out, and TCU went on to the championship game that year. But Chandler Morris has been very strong so far this year. Florida State comes in with the number one offense in the country, averaging 629 yards per game. That being said, very skewed as they play East Texas A&M and Kent State, in addition to their win over Alabama, which cannot be overlooked. And then UVA also averaging 565 yards per game. Tommy Cassianos, the quarterback, Matt, maybe a little bit dinged up. He showed up on the injury report. He's going to play, but I think this is a tricky spot for Florida State. They obviously have the firepower, but I think you're going to get a good atmosphere in Charlottesville. And remember, 30 years ago, Florida State, with a 29-game ACC winning streak, walked into Charlottesville on a Thursday night and lost that game 33-28. Danny Cannell was the quarterback of Florida State then, and Virginia's going to be wearing the throwbacks for that game. So I'm looking forward to this one on Friday night. It'll be a best bet for me, Virginia plus the 7. And then also TCU, Arizona State, Matt. This one should be a fun one. I initially had put in TCU maybe in a letdown spot after their rivalry win last week over SMU, but I don't think there's a letdown spot to go to Tempe to take on the reigning champs. No play for me, but Arizona State has been bet up to about a 3-point favorite. Arizona State getting a nice bounce back win last week over Baylor. So Arizona State obviously very in the thick of it to win this conference. They were a best bet against for us a couple weeks ago with Mississippi State. Nice win last week. Should be a fun one on Friday night against TCU. Great quarterbacks in that one. Josh Hoover for TCU and Arizona State and Sam Levitt. All right, Matt, let's go back to Saturday as we kind of run through the best of the rest, and we'll do these in chronological order. 12:45 Eastern, we've got two 4-0 ATS teams going head-to-head. This will be on the SEC Network. Vanderbilt, number 18 in the country, put up a 70 spot on Georgia State last week. I'm happy that I stayed off of that. And then Bronco Mendenhall and the Utah State Aggies, Matt. Very surprising so far how competitive they've been, and they were able to cover the number down against Texas A&M. I think this is a bit of a weird spot for Vanderbilt. Historically, Diego Pavi and company have not thrived in this big favorite role, albeit last week they won big. I think Utah State keeps this thing ugly. And you said the line, you could either be a genius or a jerk. This might be the genius or jerk game of the week. I will take Utah State plus the 23 in a look-ahead spot as Vanderbilt plays Alabama next week.
Yeah, I see mostly 22 and a half on the screen, but if you're going to bet this, try to get every half point you can, get that 23. I haven't played this yet, but if I do, it's going to be Utah State. Bronco Mendenhall and the Aggies hung with Texas A&M, right? And I think he's one of the best coaches in college football. He really is. He doesn't get talked about a lot. Did not have a great run at Virginia. But I like Mendenhall, and I think this dog is going to be competitive. And like you said, I like Vandy a little bit more in the dog role. You get Vandy in this big favorite role that's unfamiliar to this team. It's a totally different situation. Utah State might end up being a play for me. We'll see.
Yeah, the couple 23 starting to show. If you're in Vegas, which I know many of you are not, the South Point and Stations both have 23s, and that's where I played it. I was just quickly checking to see what the look-ahead line was. Vanderbilt is a 13.5-point dog next week at Alabama. So there you go. The look-ahead spot for me with Alabama waiting on deck. Another game, Matt, we talked about this one with Wes Reynolds earlier this week. He has more guts than I do. He's taking UCLA. He's going to take the old fired coach bump here. UCLA, a team that is just a nightmare, and they go to Northwestern. Northwestern laying 6 or 6.5 here on the banks of Lake Michigan. So I can't lay it with Northwestern. I understand the mindset with Wes, but I can't get there with UCLA catching 6, 6.5. That team looks dead, but we'll see if they get the old fired coach bump on the road at Northwestern.
Yeah, not surprised that Wes is on the Bruins here, because I've considered a play on the Bruins here too. Tim Skipper takes over, very popular with the players. I think you're going to get a much better effort from UCLA in this game. And again, Northwestern's one of those teams you like to play the Purple Cats as dogs, not so much as favorites. If there's a 7 that pops up, I'll play UCLA. Tim, I was going to talk just briefly here. There should be a new award in college football called the Hype Man Award, not the Heisman, the Hype Man. the player who gets hyped the most in the preseason and never lives up to it. And the leader, the big favorite, is Arch Manning to win the Heisman Award this year. But number two is Nico Iamaleva. I did not pronounce that correctly. I tried. But the quarterbacks of Texas and UCLA, the leaders in the clubhouse for the Heisman Award, the quarterbacks who were hyped the most before the season and have not lived up to it at all.
No, Nico and Joey Aguilar, you think about how happy they are with their decisions. Well, Joey's pretty happy being the quarterback of Tennessee. We'll get to the Vols here in just a moment. Staying in that 3:30 window, UCLA Northwestern's on Big Ten Network. On Big Fox is Utah and West Virginia. You mentioned the disappointing performance we had last week from Utah. I did not bet that game, but I had a future on Utah to win the conference. And Texas Tech, boy, they certainly looked the part. Then we find out this week that Devin Dampier didn't practice on Tuesday and Wednesday, wasn't fully healthy. So not surprised. That's kind of the Whittingham way. Now you got a weird travel spot, Matt. You got to go to West Virginia to take on the Mountaineers. I'm going to play first half and full game under here, split my unit. I think you're going to get a better effort from the defense of Utah than we saw last week against Texas Tech. Very impressed by Will Hammond, who stepped in for Morton. I thought he was better than Morton. So you might have a bit of a controversy there at the quarterback position in Lubbock. But I think Utah, you see a little bit better from them defensively. Devin Dampier, do we keep this thing a little bit closer to the vest with him dealing with an ankle injury? And then West Virginia, they're all sorts of banged up, Matt. They've got a running back out, a wide receiver out. Last week, Matt, I didn't give it out here on the program with them getting getting so many points off of the Pittsburgh game. But I'm going to take a first half and full game under position here. Also, keep an eye out the quarterback for West Virginia is also listed as questionable. So Rich Rod's squad is a little bit banged up there. So I'm going to take first half and full game under. Another 3:30 game, Matt. This one you'll have to pull out the streaming service for, ESPN Plus, but it's a common play for the two of us. Last week, we got to the window with San Diego State, never in doubt as a 14-point dog, 134-0 over our guy JKS and Cal. But now they go on the road to DeKalb to take on the Huskies of NIU.
Yeah, and by the way, I might be on that West Virginia side. I was hoping that number is 13.5, and I said, if this goes to 14, I'm going to bet it. The injury report for the Mountaineers is discouraging. But, man, that's a difficult spot for a Utah team that laid an egg in a big home game last Saturday and has to go to Morgantown with Devin Dampierre not full strength. So I'm considering West Virginia. Also, I did play Northern Illinois. I did not get to 3. I think you did, but I got 2.5 here. So last week it was Cal off a game in which it won as a small home dog, goes on the road, the Cal Bears, 2 touchdown favorites to San Diego State. That's a really negative situation. Now you got San Diego State, which was a 2 touchdown home dog off a big win, going on the road cross country as a small favorite to DeKalb, Illinois. Nobody wants to go to DeKalb. No offense to the people who live there.
Speak for yourself, Matt Humans.
Nobody wants to go to DeKalb. I lived in Illinois for a long time. And San Diego State's players certainly don't want to go there for an early kickoff against a feisty home dog. Tim, you may have forgotten, but Northern Illinois was getting 28 last year and beat Notre Dame straight up. I had to throw that in there. I would say that Thomas Hammack and his crew are going to be alive in this spot. I like 2 Huskies as home dogs this week. Washington and Northern Illinois. Let's go. Sign me up here. I think this is a negative spot for the Aztecs, who are not as good as they looked last week. Cal made a bunch of blunders. Golden Bears could not have been clumsier. That includes Wilcox, the coach, who made some dubious decisions in that game. And freshman quarterback, who we've been bragging a lot, Jaron Chiave Sangrapatelli, he did not play well at all. They had some really bad throws in that game. So San Diego State, not as good as it looked last week. And the Aztecs, I think, get a little reality check on the road at Northern Illinois. DeKalb, Illinois.
Yeah, last week I was on Northern Illinois, watched the whole game at Mississippi State. They were only down 4 at the half, had a couple of opportunities to cover. And then once they kicked onsides, or I think they went, no, I think they went for it in their own territory, down 31-10. You knew it was going to end poorly, and it did. But that all being said, Matt, Thomas Hammack now 23-12-2 as an underdog. And you mentioned the situation. San Diego State last week was coming off a bye, playing Cal at an all-time high. And now Northern Illinois kind of licking their wounds back at home. Weird travel spot for San Diego State. Yes, I did get the 3, but still an official play at 2.5. I played it on the money line. I think the Huskies win this game on the field. Matt, this is also going to be a tricky situational spot for another Mountain West team, and that would be the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors, as we get ready to preview the Hawaii game, which is always brought to you by our friends over at Nahoku, Hawaii's finest jewelers since 1924. For nearly 100 years, Nahoku has been sharing the spirit of aloha through an incomparable collection of Hawaiian and island lifestyle jewelry. Each piece is inspired by the beauty and traditions of the islands, crafted with Hawaiian gold, lustrous pearls, and rare gemstones. Nahoku designs are timeless, perfect for celebrating life's most important moments, from a special keepsake to an engagement ring or simply a gift that captures the aloha spirit. They've got over 30 locations across Hawaii and the mainland. Check out their full collection at Nahoku, that's Nahoku.com, to check out what they have to offer. Nahoku.com. Mahalo to our friend Steve Bookatz and Nahoku. All right, Matt, 4:10 Eastern, 2:10 local, 10 a.m. Hawaii time. Hawaii heads to Air Force as a 6.5-point underdog. Very tricky spot, and you and I have a common play in this one.
Yeah, if you think about that Hawaii game last Saturday night, like Hawaii is a Honolulu home dog, and came through for us. Now, that was a weird game. Hawaii was leading most of the way. Micah Alejado threw a pick 6. It was a terrible throw. And then everything flipped in Fresno State's favor. We get the late touchdown and the cover, 23-21 loss for Hawaii. And that could be a costly loss, Tim, because I think that was going to be a key game in terms of Hawaii getting over its win total, getting to a bowl game. And that was one needed to win. Micah Alejado comes back from an ankle and foot injury, and he did not look the same. That's definitely the worst game of his life, I would say, at any level of football that he played. Now, this Hawaii offensive line has not been great either. And the rushing attack, Landon Sims, I like him a lot as a runner, but he doesn't have a lot of running room. They pretty much had to dump the ball off to him out of the backfield to get him in space. Through five games, Hawaii has zero rushing touchdowns. Zero. That's alarming, and that's a problem. And also, I think the Hawaii defense has been a little bit too leaky. Obviously, E.J. Warner, the son of Kurt Warner, couldn't take full advantage of that last week. He's not that talented a quarterback. He's decent. But how about Liam Zarka? You're not going to hear Liam Zarka's name mentioned in the Heisman conversation. Tim, you're probably not firing a long shot bet on Liam Zarka to be the Heisman winner at 1,000,000 to 1. But, you know, Air Force made a quarterback switch and put up 514 total yards, 37 points, and had 36 minutes time of possession against Boise State last week. The Air Force defense is an issue, too. This could be a high-scoring game. So I laid 4.5 with Air Force early in the week. Hawaii playing its sixth consecutive week, six straight weeks for Hawaii. And this is, like you mentioned, a body clock game, tough road trip to Colorado Springs. I think there are some negatives pointing to Hawaii here. So I laid 4.5 with Air Force. For this show, I'm going to play Air Force and also over the total in what I think should be a high-scoring game, weather permitting, and the weather forecast looks okay in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, I think I would like Air Force more if this game was in mid-November and it was snowing. It would certainly be a much bigger advantage, but I think that's an important point that you made. You know, Hawaii playing their sixth straight game. They played week zero. They'll have really good spots, I think, later on in the year when they have a bye week late in the season. They'll be very well rested. Timmy Chang is now 17-6 ATS at home since he got to Hawaii. 7-11 ATS on the mainland, which is always kind of tricky. I just think the spot's really tough for them. Air Force can score. Offense or defense a little tricky. So I will take Air Force. Anything under a touchdown, I think, is worth a look. So I will lay it with the Air Force Falcons as well. Matt, a game that is pretty fascinating. You mentioned Joey Aguilar. I'm not going to bet the dog here. I thought about it, but ultimately laid off of it. Mississippi State, a team that I think is impressed and has certainly impressed the bettors, because they are one of six unbeaten teams, ATS, on the year, as our buddy Brad Powers pointed out earlier this week. Mississippi State covering by 9.4 points per game. You got the big cover and outright win over Arizona State. 415 SEC Network, Tennessee laying 7.5 on the road at Mississippi State. Any interest in more cowbell for Mississippi State in this spot?
I had a lot more interest in Mississippi State in that game against Arizona State a couple weeks ago. Here, not as much. I'm not going to play this, I don't think. Tennessee off. Boy, that loss to Georgia's really got a sting. But Josh Heupel does play the bully role well, and he loves to roll up big numbers. I'm not sure he's going to be able to walk over Mississippi State here. But I think Tennessee is going to be a motivated team off that Georgia loss, and I don't think the situation sets up quite as well for Mississippi State as it did against Arizona State a couple weeks ago. I can understand those who are taking the points, because it would be dog or pass for me, but I'm going to pass on the cowbell here.
All right, let's get to the night slate, Matt. Final couple of games to wrap up the podcast here. A couple of best bets as well. I'll get you a situational spot. Once again, hashtag genius or jerk. Memphis at Florida Atlantic. Last week, I chickened out for some reason. Didn't give out Memphis on the podcast, even though I love the spot. I have no idea why. But regardless, Memphis gets the big punch out late in the game against Arkansas. They get the 32-31 victory, Matt. And now they have to go on the road to a sleepy Boca Raton to take on Florida Atlantic and Zach Kittley. FAU, the Owls, coming off a bye, Matt. They have been kind of all over the map. They have not been really strong so far, needless to say, this year. They got blown out by Maryland, beat an FCS team, and then lost to Florida International. So this is a hold-your-nose special, but it is a classic letdown. I'll take two touchdowns with the Owls of Florida Atlantic. Caden Velkamp, their quarterback, and hopefully Zach Kittley can unleash some magic that he had when he was the OC at Western Kentucky. So I'll take the 14 in a massive letdown spot for Memphis. Give me the Owls plus the 14. Matt, in that same window, ACC Network, and nothing screams ACC Network like San Jose State at Stanford. And that is the game that you are looking at 7:30 Eastern as the number continues to climb on the Cardinal.
Yeah, I actually laid 2.5 with Stanford here. Once you get over this 3, you can't do that because this is it's not an explosive offense. Tim, in July, we had Walker Egitt, the quarterback. We also had Coach Ken in studio. You and I were both high on the San Jose State team, and I've been disappointed so far. A loss at home to Central Michigan, the blowout loss to Texas, that was expected, but it had to go down to the final seconds to kick a field goal to beat Idaho a week ago. I think Stanford, you know, we saw it up close. We were on the field in Honolulu in week 0. Stanford's got a pretty good offensive line and a physical running attack. And if Stanford had stuck to that ground, probably would have beat Hawaii that day. I think what Stanford's going to do here is stick to the ground, grind it out, going to be too strong on the offensive line, and they're going to use that power running attack to win this game against a San Jose State team that's underachieved so far. I did not anticipate making this play in the preseason, but I did lay 2.5 with the Cardinal this week.
All right, and then we just have to mention it. The late night slate, as great as week 5 is, the late night slate is terrible this week. I don't know why. We get BYU at Colorado. I bet against BYU a week ago. East Carolina, I think, ran one of the dumbest plays I've ever seen in my life on a read option at their own goal line. They got picked off right before the end of the half. I'll say this about BYU, Matt. This team is better than I expected. The drop-off may not be that significant from Jake Retzlaff to Bear Bachmeyer, but their defense is the real deal, and they're laying about a touchdown on the road at Colorado. Colorado, man, I know they won last week against Wyoming and did got the late cover, but boy, Coach Prime seems to be all over the place with his quarterbacks and all of that. I think Caden Salter, even though they're at home, this is not a home dog I'm looking to back in this spot as a touchdown dog. So really the only game in the 10 o'clock Eastern window, Matt, is Colorado and BYU.
Yeah, there should be a prop up on how many game management blunders Coach Prime's going to make in this game, and we'll put it at like 3.5 and probably bet the over. 3, the over should be juiced. It's amazing to me, a Pro Football Hall of Famer has been around the game his entire life, doesn't understand basic strategy. But anyway, I do think Caden Salter was probably the better quarterback option for the Buffaloes. I don't know, man. If it gets Saturday night, I could get 7 or – I know there's some 7s out there. I might consider taking Colorado plus 7, but as of right now, it's not going to be a play for me. I think, actually, Tim, it's kind of a tough spot for BYU, back-to-back road trips. And, yep. You know, going to the East Coast and then going to Colorado for this late-night game. It's not an ideal situation for the Cougars.
It is not, and your conference opener as well. So big number there, but had to mention the only late-night game. You and I usually love to get down on the late-night games, but a very limited late-night slate. All right, that's going to do it for all of our bets and previews, but we like to wrap things up very nice and tidy to close out the show with our best bet recap.
Best bets recap.
All right, Matt, run through your plays for week 5 of the college football season.
All right, this is one of the best Saturdays of the season. I've got a longer list than I had last week, even though I did end up with a bunch of plays last week by Saturday. On this podcast, 3-1-1 a week ago, 12-8-1 for the season. Northern Illinois, plus 2.5. Iowa, plus 8. This is going to be a half unit each on Air Force, minus 6.5 and over 53.5. Stanford, minus 2.5. Ole Miss, minus 1. Illinois, plus 6.5. Wait to see if you can get a 7 on that. Washington, plus 8.5. Oregon, plus 3.5. And Georgia, minus 3.
All right, I'll run through mine. Some common plays there. We'll start on Friday night, Matt. Virginia, plus the touchdown. against Florida State. Northern Illinois, plus 2.5. I think they win the game outright, so a little money line sprinkle. Iowa, plus 8. Florida Atlantic in a situational spot, plus 14 against Memphis. Air Force lay in the chalk, 6.5 with the Falcons against the Bows. A half unit split here. Utah, West Virginia, under first half, which I think is 23.5. Under full game, 47.5. The Notre Dame Arkansas game, it expects to be a shootout. We'll see about the situation with Leonard Moore, Notre Dame's top cornerback. It seems like he is trending towards being out. So I think Omega Blake for Arkansas goes over his receiving yards. And I do think Taylen Green should be able to run the ball well against the Irish. I do like the Omega Blake prop probably a little bit more. And then Utah State plus 23 against Vanderbilt. Last week, Matt, 3-3-1 and 12-12-1 on the season. So hopefully we can have a big week and we can get into the green here for my side of the bets. But that's going to do it. Just a reminder, a couple of things. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, on Spotify. Also, subscribe on YouTube, youtube.com/collegefootballbettingpodcast. Matt will be back on Friday night with the Circa Friday Football Invitational with some of the best handicappers out there in college and the NFL. And I'll be back on Saturday morning, 9 a.m. with the VSIN College Football Tailgate Show. So for Matt, I'm Tim. Thanks to Wyatt, our producer, as well as Ryan Hunter. This has been the VSIN College Football Betting Podcast.